So here we go. The European Union referendum battle is underway. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, has set June the 23rd as the big date. Voters will decide if the UK should still leave the EU. On Saturday, Mr Cameron briefed his ministers at a cabinet meeting and then spoke outside 10 Downing Street.
3 years ago, I committed to the British people that I would renegotiate our position in the European Union and hold an in-out referendum. Now I'm delivering on that commitment. You will decide, and whatever your decision, I will do my best to deliver it. On Monday, I will commence the process set out under our Referendum Act, and I will go to Parliament and propose that the British people decide our future in Europe through an in-out referendum on Thursday, the 23rd of June. The choice is in your hands, but my recommendation is clear. I believe that Britain will be safer, stronger, and better off in a reformed European Union.
The Out campaign got a boost yesterday when the London Mayor, Boris Johnson, gave his backing.
It's my view that after 30 years of writing about this, we have a chance actually to do something. I have a chance actually to do something. I would like to see a new relationship based more on trade, on cooperation, but as I say, with much less of this supranational element.
So that's what a couple of the politicians are saying. But don't forget, we want to hear from you today. 0 30 30 80 55 55. We'll hear from the DUP MP Sammy Wilson in a moment. To Sinn Féin's Declan Kearney with us today. Declan, big decision this for the country.
It's a huge decision, and the great risk at the heart of any move towards a Brexit would be the loss of a 500 million market available to local business people, to our farming and our agri-food industry, and the prospect of losing massive foreign direct investment to the six-county economy and indeed to the island economy itself. It's worth bearing in mind that since roughly 2007, there's been 27,000 foreign direct investment jobs promoted within the regional economy here in the north, largely from North America, and something in the region of 3.25 billion of foreign direct investment, planned investment, has also been secured.
Yeah, but what makes you so certain that that would be at risk?
Well, the indications are that that would be the case, because every time that Martin McGuinness and previously Peter Robinson have travelled to the United States and to North America more generally in pursuit of FDI, one of the recurring themes has been the importance of the six counties being part of the EU and acting as a gateway to the mainland greater European economy. But it will have implications as well for the overall island economy as well. And just last week, John Kerry, the American Secretary of State, actually said in Munich that, in his opinion, it is essential that Britain remains within Europe, because that is essential to ensuring that there's a strong EU. Can I leave you with make this other quick point, Stephen? Because I think it even goes beyond North American FDA. We have recently secured a very significant pork export deal with the Chinese government, and Colette Fitzgerald last week was in a position to report to a very important conference that took place in Dundalk that the Chinese government would not have actually cashed in and secured that pork export deal with us if the North was not, in fact, a member of the European Union. So I think the ramifications of a Brexit for future FDI, for our trading opportunities, for our exports, are really, really huge. But I don't want to indulge in Project Fear, because there's enough of that in all of this debate. Let's get a positive focus on why it's important for Ireland to remain in Europe, and why the North's place is in Europe, because I think that the positive arguments far outweigh the negative.
But the economic and fiscal policies of the European Union have had catastrophic effects on the lives of many of its citizens, is it not?
And I'm no proponent of the current structure of the European Union. It's full of imperfections.
Well, you want us to stay in it.
I would much rather see a greater primacy for a social Europe.
But Declan, do you agree that the policies have had catastrophic effects on the lives of many of its citizens?
I agree that there have been imperfections within how the EU has run its business. I think that there are difficulties in relation to governance, the quality of democracy within the European Union. You only have to look and see what they did to the Greek government in actually trying to sanction the Greek government for refusing to accept and comply with austerity policies, to recognise that the European Union has the potential to be greatly punitive and hard against governments who do not toe its particular line. But here's the point.
The reason, by the way, I read that quote is it's from the European United Left Group, which Sinn Féin is part of.
There is a need to build a social Europe, and that can only be done within the context and the confines of participation within the European Union. And that is Sinn Féin's agenda. It's one of critical engagement. It's not one of unconditional support, but it is to recognise that the European Union in its totality, strategically, politically and economically and socially, it is better for people in the north of Ireland and for the island of Ireland as a whole to remain involved in Europe.
Well, Sammy Wilson disagrees with you from the DUP.
If I can finish on this point, what we're facing here is a Project Fear agenda which is being driven by a little Englander, isolationist agenda, and unfortunately it is beginning to have an impact on some other political parties here in the north, namely the Unionist Party.
Sammy Wilson, listening to this, what's your reaction to that, Sammy?
Well, I think that Project Fear has been well articulated by Sinn Féin, who seem to be taking up the refrain of the British Prime Minister, who's saying that if we do not stay in Europe, we're not going to be able to trade with the rest of the world. We're going to have our trade with the rest of Europe affected. If that's not Project Fear, of course, Sinn Féin do Project Fear quite well. If that's not Project Fear, then I don't know what is. And it's significant that we now have Sinn Féin on the same side as the Conservative Prime Minister, using exactly the same arguments, because really they don't have any good reasons for us staying within the European Union. And, I mean, Stephen, you pointed out, and it's not insignificant, that a country like Greece finds itself with 50% unemployment, pensions slashed by 50%, the public sector destroyed as a result of being part
Who's
of
engaging
the
in Project
Union.
Fear now?
No, that's not Project Fear. That's fact. That's exactly what is happening in Greece at the moment, because Greece is tied into a system which demands that the same policies be applied right across the European Union, whether they suit a country or not, or indeed whether they reflect the democratic wishes of the government of that country or not. Now, that to me is the compelling argument for being out of Europe. Out of the European Union, simply because if people elect a government of whatever vein it happens to be, then they're entitled to see that government being able to implement the policies on which it stood, implement the manifesto which it put forward to them, and being part of the European Union, of course, doesn't allow that, because you've got an unelected body, the European Commission, and the bureaucrats in Brussels, telling people, you may think that's good for you, but we're telling you it's not.
It's a bit humiliating, this, for Stormont, Sammy, is it not? Arlene Foster asked David Cameron to avoid June because the Assembly election's in it, and he just went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, I think that it is unfortunate that the Prime Minister failed to listen to not only what people, the representatives in Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and indeed some of those who were involved in the elections in London were all saying, but I suspect that he wants a referendum as early as possible for the simple reason that he knows that there's another immigration crisis going to mount over the summer period when more people start coming from Syria and North Africa, and he wants to ensure that people are not once again reminded that being part of the European Union all of our borders are open and all of the problems which that causes are going to hit us again.
We've heard from prominent leaders of business tell us how they fear leaving the EU. They think prices will go up. They think that agreements will need to be rewritten. And they say, how long will that take? And here we have the DUP Enterprise Minister and the DUP First Minister going against the business community.
Well, not against all of the business community. And don't forget, there seems to be a divide within the business community. Those big businesses which can do direct lobbying in Europe and probably have done fairly well out of that have taken a view that in is better, because they, even when national governments are being overridden, they've got the inroads into lobbying the unaccountable officials in Europe. Many small businesses who have found that they've been destroyed by European regulations are the ones who are saying that we're better off if we were free from the burden of European regulation, where at least those regulations can be made in our own country, and we hold accountable the people who bring those regulations in if they don't work.
And Declan Kearney, many political leaders are saying, look, there's going to be a difference of opinion within parties. You take the Conservative Party, for goodness sake. You have Boris Johnson, one of the most high-profile politicians in that party, now going against the Prime Minister. They're all doing it, or suggesting they're doing it, in a dignified way. Meanwhile, Martin McGuinness is calling for Theresa Villiers to resign because she has a different opinion than him.
Let me come at that question in this respect, Stephen. EU funding between roughly 2007 and 2013 was worth 10% of the six counties' GDP in terms of European transfers. That's the scale of our economic relationship to the European Union. Since 1995, we have enjoyed an investment of 2.64 billion euros arising from Peace 1, Peace 2, 3 and 4. And there has been 3 billion euros invested in the north through Interreg funding, and that's over and above additional social fund expenditure that has been brought into the north from
Europe. And over that period,
I put a question to Theresa Villiers just a few short weeks ago on Question Time as to whether the British government, in the event of a Brexit, would be prepared to repay the money that would be lost to the northern economy. And she fudged that question.
Okay, go on, Sammy.
And she refused to answer.
Well, you haven't answered the question as to why Martin McGuinness is asking for a politician to resign just because she has a different opinion.
I'm going to answer your question. Theresa Villiers, in other words, has no mandate to represent the people of the north of Ireland in any respect. She has no right to represent the people of the north of Ireland in relation to our relationship with Europe. Her government is responsible for a cruel and a hard austerity agenda which promises to take more money out of the block grant to punish public services to result in further job losses in the coming period. She has no mandate and she has no credibility when it comes to the north of Ireland in terms of economic and social policy. So yes, of course, if she has no mandate in relation to any of those issues, why should she posture as the sixth county secretary of state when she's actually going against the interests of the people of the north of Ireland?
Go on, Sammy.
Let me make 2 points. I wish you'd just name the country and give us proper name. It's Northern Ireland, by the way, and stop all this posturing. But let me make the 2 points. First of all, Theresa Villiers is not claiming to represent the people of Northern Ireland when she says that she wishes to leave. And this is where Sinn Féin and everybody else is missing the point. The decision about whether we stay in Europe is not a decision for Sammy Wilson, the DUP, Sinn Féin, Theresa Villiers. This is the first time in 45 years. This is what makes this such a momentous occasion. The first time in 45 years that the people who have suffered as a result of being part of the European Union will have their say. This will be decided by Mrs. Jones, Mr. Smith, Mr. O'Reilly, right across the board, not by Theresa Villiers. So that's the first thing, and there's no reason why she should resign, because she is not claiming to represent Northern Ireland. She'll have one vote like you will, Stephen, and like I will. The second thing is this. And he made the point about the amount of money which comes into Northern Ireland. Since 2005, the United Kingdom has paid approximately £80,000 million. £80,000 million. More into the European Union than what they receive from it. Now, nobody's telling me that if we were to leave the European Union tomorrow, that those funds would not be available for spending on infrastructure projects, on farming, and on all of the other things.
But it wouldn't be guaranteed, would it? You don't know how much, for example, farming, let's look at it, you don't know how much farming would get in Northern Ireland. That would be a shot in the dark, wouldn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that over the next number of years, farming in Northern Ireland is going to get substantially less from the European Union as it orientates its subsidies towards Eastern Europe and towards the agricultural money is directed towards environmental projects. And we've already seen, and farmers have complained in Northern Ireland about the amount of money which is being taken from their subsidies to be put into, for example, rural development projects. I think it's now about 20% of their money that disappears to rural development projects rather than going to direct farming subsidies. And that's a result of the orientation which Europe wants towards taking money away from subsidies to farmers and putting it more into other type things. So I can tell, and all farmers know, they're getting substantially less if we stay in the European Union. But what we do know, and the second fact that we know, is that if we come out of the European Union, the Exchequer next year will be £10 billion better off. And even if none of that was, even if none of that were allocated in additional spending, we would still have the money which is currently spent on programmes, whether it's structural programmes or agriculture programmes, available to us.
Your leader said
Your
leader, Sammy, Arlene Foster, said, as every voter has the opportunity to express a view, we fully expect that DUP members and voters will hold a range of differing personal views as to what is in the best interests of the United Kingdom. How much is your party split on this?
I would suspect that most of the people in the party would take the same view as I do, that we should leave the European Union. But as I've said, Stephen.
But has there been a vote within your party?
No, hasn't.
So who decided the party policy then?
Well, the party policy is, I suppose, reflective of what we know from manifestos in the past. Our European manifesto, for example, indicated that we were sceptical about our involvement in Europe.
So no vote?
No consultation? No meeting? No, because decided from on high? No, Stephen, no party has taken a decision collectively. The Labour Party hasn't done it. Sinn Féin hasn't done it. The Ulster Unionists haven't.
Your party has to say. Your party has a party position in this, doesn't it?
And it's one of the reasons why Arlene has said that there may well be people who will wish to vote one way or the other. And as I've said to you already,
but your party has a party position, Sammy. This is my point. Your party has a party position, and yet there's been no meeting, there's been no consultation, there's been no vote.
Either we have a position or we don't have a position, then you don't need to take a vote. If you don't have a position, then you do what Arlene has said, and that is you allow people to make their own individual decision. And as I've said to you in relation to Theresa Villiers, at the end of the day, and this is the first time that we will be making a decision based on what individuals will say, because a referendum gives everybody an equal say in this. And if there are people within our party who want to take the view that they stay in, they'll be free to do that in the secrecy of the ballot box. And if there are people who wish to leave, they'll be free to do that in the secrecy of the ballot box.
Declan, you want to respond to this?
Quickly, before I leave, thank you. I just want to correct a point that Sammy made. Sinn Féin has made a decision in this matter. Our national leadership, our Ard Cóiríne, sat down, very carefully analysed this matter way back last year. And we came to a decision at that point, having looked at the implications of a Brexit scenario, and we made a decision which was clear, decisive, that Brexit was counter to the interests of the people of the North of Ireland, every citizen in the North of Ireland, from whatever section of the community he or she comes, and it would be detrimental to the overall growth of the island economy. That's the first point. Sinn Féin has been on this agenda and recognising its implications far and away beyond many other political parties on the island. Well, anybody who believes that the British government is going to restore the loss of European transfers and funding to the north of Ireland, this particular British government, they're living in cloud cuckoo land. This is a British government that is demolishing public services in the six counties and wrecking the block grant and smashing the economy to pieces. The reality is that we are a net beneficiary of Europe.
Well, how come you're saying yes? How come you're saying we're not, Sammy, and Declan saying we are?
Yes, Stephen, let me finish on this point. We are a net beneficiary. It is a falsehood to say we are a net contributor in the north of Ireland. The regional economy in the north of Ireland, because of our exceptional economic and social circumstances, is a net beneficiary. And I think it's really significant that Sammy is failing to recognise that the farming industry in the six counties is on its knees. There are dairy farmers who are not making a living at this particular point in time.
And you know, one of the reasons
to the wall, who would go to the wall in the absence of European subsidies
often put into rural development.
If I can finish on this point.
Well, hold on. Let Sammy speak to you, Declan. Let Sammy speak to you. Let him speak to you. Let him speak to you, Declan. One second. Don't just keep on talking. It's not going to work. Let Sammy speak to you. Go on, Sammy.
And one of the big criticisms the farming industry has is that the Sinn Féin, if the farming industry is on its knees, the Sinn Féin minister is partly responsible for that because she took significant amounts of money out of the European subsidies, which were meant to go directly to farmers, to put into rural development so she could subsidise, for example, GAA clubs and other community things.
So I'll let you respond
money,
to that, Declan.
Money went from farmers the community activity.
You can respond to that, Declan.
Not of a unionist or a British minister. That was a Sinn Féin minister did that.
Go on, Declan.
Well, I said earlier on that anybody who believes that the British government would return the funding that would be lost as a result of a Brexit decision was living in cloud cuckoo land. And I think that Sammy is simply parroting that cloud cuckoo land logic and that kind of comment that he has just made. This morning, Sterling fell by 1.5% against the dollar, arising from the politics that has unfolded over the last over the last few days.
Okay.
And if I can finish on this very final point, what we need is a joint civic and political platform that can mobilise wider opinion against this decision and to make the case, the positive case, for remaining in Europe. And I think that we need to do that here in the north and we need to find common cause with our friends in Scotland and in Wales. And the reality is that if we mobilise popular opinion sufficiently across the regions, north of Ireland, Scotland and Wales, we can have a very decisive impact.
Declan Kearney, I know you have to go. Sammy, I know you have to go in 1 second, but I do want to ask you about this. Declan Kearney mentioned Scotland there. Surely you should be worried, Sammy Wilson. Scotland very much pro-EU. If you succeed in getting the UK out of the EU, Scotland will want another referendum, and that policy of yours, Sammy, could lead to the breakup of the United Kingdom, couldn't it?
Right, Stephen, I'll answer that question. Let me just make 2 points quickly about what Declan said. First of all, if he knew anything about economics, he would know that the fall in the pound against the dollar actually might be good news for farmers and for other people who export because it makes exports cheaper. And one of the things which has held back our exports has been the fact that the pound has been riding quite high against other currencies. So there's benefits from that anyhow. The second thing is
Scotland.
We are net contributors. And I'll come to Scotland now. We are net contributors. We contribute this year we will contribute £10 billion more from the United Kingdom to Europe to the European Union. And if that money were available, even if all of it weren't spent, then we would see an increase in our block grant. But let me just turn to the Scotland issue. And the first thing
I want to bring Kate Hoey in. She's winning.
The first thing is this: you're assuming how Scotland is going to vote. The Scottish Nationalists did not represent the Scottish people when it came to whether or not they should be independent for the rest of the United Kingdom. So why are you assuming that the stance of the Scottish Nationalists reflects the views of the people in Scotland? Wait until the referendum. And the second thing is this, that whether we have an in-out vote or not, you can be darn sure that the Scottish Nationalists will find some excuse when it suits them, probably waiting until the oil price goes up, mind you, to try again for independence,
okay,
because that is their stated agenda.
Sammy Wilson, thank you. Declan Kearney, thank you.